Many fast food workers, nannies, computer programmers, artists, writers, and consultants have something in common. They don't get benefits, no health insurance, no pension. Nearly a third of the American workforce is now temporary, part-time, freelance, or self-employed. This is a reality that the labor laws, most unions, and the tax laws have not taken into account. And although the number of independent workers is huge, it's hard for them to organize because they not only don't work together, many of them work alone at home. Stepping into this vacuum is an advocacy group for independent workers called Working Today. My guest is the founder and executive director, Sarah Horowitz. She comes from a union family. Her grandfather was vice president of the International Ladies Garment Workers Union. Her husband is a labor lawyer, so is her father. In fact, so was she before founding Working Today. I asked her what independent workers don't have that full-time employees do.
Probably the biggest picture answer to that is that we have created a system for people who are working in full-time jobs where they're connected to an employer that provides them benefits, provides training, skill development, legal protections, and legal rights. So what you notice about this new workforce is people are often working either without health insurance or paying huge rates, hugely high rates for them. Their pensions really are non-existent, or else they're, again, saving on their own. They're not protected by the basic laws that you and I really think of go with work. For instance, if you're working as a freelancer or a consultant or some kind of independent contractor, you're not covered by the major labor laws of this century. You could be sexually harassed, and you're just not covered by the Civil Rights Act.
Why aren't you covered?
Because the Civil Rights Act talks about employees. And in fact, if you look at the way we've created our whole legal regulatory structure, you have to often be an employee to be covered by basic rights. You can't be unionized if you're not an employee. You just aren't protected by unemployment laws. So, for instance, the irony of this is that as people are working in more short-term ways, going from job to job and project to project, they're precisely the group that's excluded from unemployment laws. Now, when we start putting this in positive perspective, there are a lot of people who are really enjoying this kind of work or contemplating it, either because they don't have other options or this seems like something good to do following a dream. We really have to start thinking about what does this workforce need. The number one issue is going to be a portable system of benefits, that wherever you go, either as an employee or an independent contractor, you should get a certain credit for the amount of time you work that goes into a fund to pay for health insurance and pensions.
There are a lot of tax disadvantages to being self-employed or being a freelancer. Why don't you run through what some of those tax disadvantages are?
Sure. The biggest one is this. If you are getting 1099 income, you are paying both the employee and employer portions of Social Security tax. That amounts to 15% of people's income. And we're not just talking about, you know, the consultant who's making, you know, $200,000 a year. We're talking about farm workers in North Carolina who are termed independent contractors. This is just an incredible penalty on people who are trying to work on their own or who have to work on their own or who are being called independent contractors. And what's really the most galling piece of it all is that if you look at the legislative history about this, the legislators basically decided that because people were working on their own, it was very hard to police the tax write-offs they were taking. They just came up with a figure that people would pay double because they were going to be cheating on their income tax, essentially. So that, for instance, if you are an independent contractor, you go out to lunch, you're going to take the receipt, and you're just, anytime you meet your friend, you're going to do it. That, of course, is not the reality. But the fact is that I don't think there's any kind of organized group that would allow laws to stay in effect that are based on these kind of premises. And that 15% is just really killing people, especially lower income and moderate income people. And I think that when we think of this workforce, we have to think about all these people who are graduating from college, taking all these freelance jobs, working, making $13,000, $15,000 a year. Farm workers, people who are middle income trying to send kids to college or paying for their houses. I think what we really see here is we're talking about the declining middle class and that this group is really getting hard hit and these Social Security taxes really are a problem.
When you talk about how unfair it is that freelancers and independent contractors have to pay both halves of Social Security payments, they have to pay the employee and the employer half, which is about 15% of their wages. What are you proposing, that they only pay half and then they only get half of their Social Security in the long run? And if not, who would pay that half that's usually paid by the employer?
Well, there are a number of things in that. Number one, I think what's happening is a lot of people don't know they're supposed to be paying, and they're not paying in. And the way Social Security works is you have to have worked for 10 years paying in order to get. So one of the big problems isn't a problem of today, but it's a problem in several decades, especially you have a new workforce that really doesn't know that they're supposed to be paying. They're supposed to be paying estimated taxes every 3 months. And I think this is sort of a potential time bomb down the road. But the other issue gets to the larger point of the distinction between employee and independent contractor doesn't make sense. And that what if you go to this portable system of benefits, what really is important is that you work a certain number of hours and you pay taxes and you get credit for benefits according to how much you work. Right now, the distinction is all important. If you're an employee, you pay 7.5%. If you're an independent contractor, you pay 15%. If you start really looking at that distinction head on, you start saying, wait a minute, why should this workforce be paying twice as much when another workforce is only paying half, when this distinction makes no sense? And I think when you start looking at it that way, you can start looking at the different players and seeing who's paying what and what would be fair. I think that's really the issue.
So you clearly see what the problem is, but you're not sure what the solution is yet.
I wouldn't say that. I think that there are probably many solutions. It's a road toward solutions. And I think one of the clear things would be finding out who's paying, how it's working out, where the caps are in Social Security. There's a lot of room to maneuver. But the most important thing in that is to look at the tax fairness for this group and to make sure that what system we look at will ensure that Social Security as a system will survive. Social Security is a really fair system. You work, you pay into it, you get something out at the end. It's incredibly efficient. It is one of the best-run programs that are around. And more importantly, it's portable. It is perfectly suited to this new economy because wherever you work, you get a FICA payment that gets credited and is kept track of. It really works, and I think we need to start looking at Social Security in a new way. And I think that it's a model for portability.
My guest is Sarah Horowitz, founder of Working Today. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Sarah Horowitz, and she's founder and executive director of Working Today, which is a group that represents the interests of independent contractors, the self-employed, freelancers, consultants, temps, part-timers, and other people who work on their own. Trade unions have been organized according to the trade. So you have the Auto Workers Union, Health Workers Union. Your organization, Working Today, is organized on the principle that these people are freelancers or independent contractors. They might be renovating homes. They might be plumbers. They might be writers. They might be computer software designers. It doesn't matter what kind of work they do. You're interested in having them join as long as they are independent contractors or freelancers. Do you think that that is enough to hold this disparate group of workers together?
Well, what's really interesting is that while we've seen the decline of unions, the growth of associations has just skyrocketed. People are organized into all sorts of professional and other kinds of associations, like writers' associations, telecommunications consultants, computer game developers, tax accountants, that it just really ranges. And what Working Today is saying is that people bring themselves together in ways that make sense for them. And obviously, these associations are doing something. The problem is they are isolated in their particular field, and there's been no way to bring them together as a constituency on the issues that they have in common. So, for instance, these groups, their members are paying two portions of Social Security. They're paying too much for health insurance, and they're not covered by labor laws. They can't get unemployment. But as each association, they can do very little about it. But what we're doing is joining these associations together into this network so that you identify by what your field or your trade or your craft is, and you stick with the group that's working well for you. but that we can start talking about these general issues together. And there is a constituency about being a freelancer or a consultant, but it has to be coupled with these groups so that one can talk about a particular field. And that's why our structure is geared that way. But also individuals can join Working Today for $10 a year. An individual can join and just have a relationship to Working Today. There's a lot of flexibility built into our structure.
A lot of the people who are now independent contractors or freelancers got to be that way because they were downsized out of a job because their corporation wanted to stop paying benefits to some people and redefine them as freelancers or independent contractors. So it wasn't always voluntary, for voluntary reasons that people got into this new type of labor force. Employers are demanding more flexibility. So what do you think workers need to demand in response to that?
I think that the point to be made is that this isn't all a workforce of people who are happy to be in it. That one of the reasons why there are so many more people who are working this way is because the traditional corporate route isn't there for them. They've either been downsized or the jobs that are offered tend to be these short-term jobs without benefits. I think the important question is, are employers all doing this because they're greedy and they're evil and they're just taking advantage of a situation? And the answer is, for some, yes. But for many, it's a lot about a transformation, and that because we are creating a workforce that has no constituency voice, very little leverage, you start seeing that employers are paying attention to the bottom line, and we are having a very difficult time saying, wait a minute, if I'm going to work here, this job better provide me with X number of hours that go into my portable system of benefits. And I think you can really see that this is happening by looking at how tight our labor market is. Our unemployment rates are low. And I think we can also start saying to employers, if you want flexibility, flexibility has to be a two-way street here. Flexibility is going to mean that if you want me on a six-month assignment, we have to come up with a way that I'm going to get 6 months' worth of benefits, that you could actually use this mobility with structures in place that make sense. And I think that's what's important.
You're saying that it just no longer makes sense to have pensions and health insurance tied to your employer because people change jobs so much. People go through long periods of unemployment, and so many people are freelancers and they don't have an employer per se. So where are you looking to for models of alternatives?
The first example is mutual aid societies from the last century, where people got together through guilds or crafts, and they provided those kinds of benefits. People stayed with their craft or guild organization or their union, and when they went around from job to job, they made sure that their benefits were still connected to the organization, not the employer.
Sarah Horowitz, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, thank you so much.
Sarah Horowitz is the founder and executive director of Working Today, which is headquartered in New York.